Day two.
Day two. And it's St. Patty's Day. Top of the morning to you all. Top of the morning to you, lads. Yeah. I hope you're enjoying your bowl of Lucky Charms cereal.
Your Lucky Charms, your green eggs and ham.
Your green beer.
You know, and it's Saturday, so that in itself is pretty great.
I know that it falls on a weekend this year. It's fantastic.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And my birthday is in a week.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. You gonna give me anything good?
Probably not.
Really?
Well, I mean, I'll get you something, but you said anything good.
Oh, but
good.
Not anything no. good. No. Just kidding.
We'll see, though. I've got a few things in the works, so.
Great.
Just working on that shit.
So. Well, we hope you've all got plans tonight, and you're just holding yourself over with this.
Mm-hmm.
This is Men Biting Dogs. We are JR and Krusty.
I'm Krusty. He's JR.
This is day two of our Celtic Week extravaganza.
Yeah, baby.
And we hope, yeah, like I said, we got something good planned for tonight. If you don't, then you don't have to have plans. Just go out. Just go to go to the bar.
Go to your nearest Irish pub.
There you go.
Grab a
pint. meet your true love.
Exactly. It could be tonight.
Could be.
Yeah. You could be out there meeting your soulmate.
And if you've already met your soulmate and you know it, it's a great time to drunkenly confess and get turned down in spectacular fashion.
Yes.
We hope you can work up the courage. But this episode, we're going to tell you what else to watch out for besides making a fool of yourself. We're going to tell you about some of the nastiest and most... the quirkiest.
Yeah, definitely some quirky. There's some cool ones in here, too. Like not necessarily
creatures.
Gross.
Yeah.
But
it's creatures, y'all.
Yeah, so keep an eye out for these when you're strolling along home tonight from the pub.
The pub.
You're going to want to watch out
for these creatures and for Conor McGregor because
I hear on St. Patrick's Day, he just wanders around.
Well, if the average person is more likely to get in a fight when they're drunk, what does he do? Does he just massacre everyone in the bar?
He gets drunk and he goes on a rampage.
Be careful. Be careful out there. Anyhow, let's jump on in. As far as what the Irish did or do believe, or just the people of the region in general, everyone knows leprechauns.
Yeah.
Of course.
Mm-hmm.
There's not just one kind, or rather, leprechauns are not the only sort of branch of the family tree.
No, there's there's actually a race called the Aes Side. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. It's
probably not.
It's
that's
old
okay.
Gaelic. So, but they are a race of supernatural beings that are in Irish and Scottish mythology. And the Aes Side means people of the mounds, because Ireland is covered in these small mounds, and they're believed to be fairy mounds where these beings live. Or some people even say that they live in an invisible realm that's draped over our own, like a parallel dimension that's kind of connected to ours.
Interesting.
And leprechauns are a part of that race, as well as a few other creatures.
We'll talk about leprechauns in general, but I think I know everyone's favorite leprechaun, played by Timothy Elmanson in The Luck of the Irish.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
It's
nice.
Great. Ohio! It's great.
Man, that's a great movie.
It was great. It still is.
Hopefully.
Maybe,
I don't know.
Well, I don't know. Yeah,
it could be one of those movies
that
you turn on now and just say, that sucks. But
we're going to give you the lowdown on this race of creatures, as well as
a few other spooky boys.
Some great legends. Roll the music. So what's up first, Krusty?
All right, first...
What should they know to look out
for?
First,
we have a creature called the Abhartach.
Okay.
I believe. Abhartach. I'm going to call it that. It's
part of the race of...
Yeah, those part of the Aes Side race.
Mm.
the impression I got from this is it's kind of like a zombie, but also kind of like a vampire, a little bit.
Yeah, well, there's as with any widespread myth, there are varying versions.
Mm-hmm.
The one that kept popping up in my research was you could think of it as kind of like a leprechaun, more like it's described often as like a magical dwarf.
Yeah,
and now keep in mind this doesn't mean a small person; it's a separate. Like species.
Yeah.
It's not like they saw, you know, people, you know, the little people and were like,
they're a different.
He's one of them. It's not like that. This is totally, yeah.
Yeah. It's a different thing.
Sort of a magical. And in the legend, the main legend, you know, he's not exactly a nice guy. In fact, no. He's a pretty non-nice guy. He's kind of tyrannical and cruel.
Yeah.
And the last thing you want is a being with magical abilities roaming the countryside, being cruel and doing.
Weird cruel things.
Things.
Yeah. But, yeah, they're considered to be living dead, but they also...
Wait, let's start with the... Well, oh. In the legend, originally, the dwarf... Originally, the dwarf wasn't dead, but it was slain by a local chieftain who was basically mad about all the mischief, but it kept returning from the grave. Apparently...
Can't keep him down.
Well, see, he just kept coming back as basically a revenant, and he would... crave human blood or possibly human flesh.
Ooh.
So he killed this Abartach twice, and it kept coming back. So he goes to a local druid, and he's like, what's the deal? How many times do I have to kill this evil creature? And the druid says, how are you burying him? And he says, well, I'm just putting him in the ground like the way he is, like head pointed up, basically. Just
big mistake.
Tossing them in. Yeah, you can't bury them with a head pointed up because apparently that allows them to still have magical powers and to rise from the grave.
So, but not only do you have to bury them upside down, but first you actually have to kill them with a sword made of yew wood.
Yeah, it has to be made of yew.
So you got to do that. And then when you get to the burying upside down, you got to surround the grave in thorns. And then you have to place a big ass rock on top.
So that I guess so you can't rise back out.
Yeah, just in case the thorns, the yew wood, and the upside down burial didn't fully work, you got that rock on there as, you know, added protection.
Wouldn't that be a solid prank for anybody who knows about this myth to go and like stage like a little grave and put all this stuff?
Yeah, like they just thorns walk over and they're like rocks, oh, all shit. That.
Yeah, like oh shit, that would creep me out for sure.
Yeah,
but so you know, there's another version where instead of consulting a druid, the chieftain consults sort of a local saint-like Christian figure, a Christian person, who says that he's basically a zombie. And that's where you get, in that version, that's when he talks about the sword of Yewood and bury upside down. But it kind of harkens back to what we talked about a little bit yesterday. It doesn't necessarily matter. You know, you've got different myths and legends sort of mixed up. They're Christianized versions. So anytime you read a myth about a creature like this, don't necessarily take it as the one and only because there are probably many versions of it. Mm-hmm. But so would you say that the Abartach is kind of like a leprechaun?
Kind of. A little, like leprechauns are kind of seen as like, they're not fully evil, but they're not necessarily like...
They're more like tricksters. Good guys.
Yeah, they're like mischievous. They get into trouble, but like they're not like out to murder you.
Yeah, the Abartach is
out evil. To murder you. Yeah, and it's trying to drink your blood, too. Yes. That's where you get the similarity with vampires. Kind of, they drink the blood of their victims.
Mm.
So, yeah. So this one is... It's basically if a leprechaun went... You know, full dark side.
Okay.
So that's the impression that I get.
In terms of appearance, you might think it looks sort of like what you would think a leprechaun would look like, but...
Yeah, short and...
It'll become very clear whether it's a leprechaun or an Abartach.
Yeah, when it's sinking its teeth into your juicy neck meats, you'll know.
Into your jowls.
You'll know, yeah.
So watch out for that. Keep your yew sword around.
Yeah, keep it handy.
Keep it on hand. As well as your thorns, and keep it. Who doesn't have a use for a nice big rock to put on top of a grave?
I mean, I know. I mean, I've got several rocks just like waiting to be used. So
a whole collection of rocks.
Mm-hmm. So yeah. Well, that is
it's bad
the
news.
Abertetch.
It's bad news.
Unless you got any more on him.
Yeah. There isn't that much.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot.
It's mostly just like a cautionary tale.
Yeah.
Just because one of these beings is magical does not mean that they're going to whisk you away to Willy Wonka's chocolate factory and give you gold and...
No.
Yeah.
No.
Be careful.
Exactly.
We're not saying to be suspicious of
short people.
People of short stature.
But...
If they start casting spells, then
yeah, keep an eye out.
Yeah, keep an eye out.
So,
but there are a few different sort of, so that's kind of related to leprechaun, but not exactly. But
yeah.
In terms of leprechauns, there are different kinds in a way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a few different kinds, I believe.
So, I mean, what are the defining features of just a leprechaun? I mean, everyone has kind of that image of the leprechaun, probably from the Lucky Charms box.
Yeah, just general pop culture.
Kind of dressed like a pilgrim in green, sort of.
Yeah, well, did you know, actually, the green is kind of a modern thing.
Really?
The original tales of leprechauns are, they're all said to wear some variation of red and gold. Maybe with like a green vest, but their coats are usually red with some gold, like on the edges.
Trim, yeah.
Yeah, trim. And the green has kind of been a more...
Added in post.
Yeah, added in post.
Maybe because they're trying to connect it to like the shamrock. And
well, you know, the like the modern, like, you know, leprechauns have always been short, small, but like the red beard and like just kind of the way it acts has been influenced a lot by 19th century Irish stereotypes.
Oh, okay.
So that's kind of where, and that's kind of when the green got added in, because green is just, you know, associated with
Ireland.
Don't
be a racist, guys.
Yeah, so don't be a racist.
Speaking of red beards, I should have grown mine
out. You should have. Yeah. Kind of disappointing, but
yeah. They'll
maybe next year.
They might never know the glory.
Maybe next
year. I have, we're both white dudes with dark hair, but I have about a fourth of my beard is actually...
Yeah, you got
a pretty
nice,
rich red
like,
that grows in around the goatee.
Red beard thing going on.
Around the goatee, yeah, the goatee area. It grows in pretty bright red.
That's nice.
Which is a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, so red coats, not green originally. But
Well, it's interesting because I read that actually, it's actually bad luck for a redheaded person to wear red.
Really?
Yeah. Supposedly, that's like an old superstition. Yeah, you know what? Yeah, probably.
If you have red hair and you're listening, I'm sorry, but
if I have kids and they carry the red hair gene that is dormant within my beard, I'll just have them dye their hair from birth, spare them a life of pain and rejection, or steal their magical secrets. either one.
Yeah. All right. Well, hey. Whatever works for you.
So you got leprechauns. I mean, they're generally kind of like tricksters. But they supposedly, there are a lot of legends that say that leprechauns have like a magical purse that either is like a bottomless purse full of gold, or like they can pull out a gold coin of their purse, but it never disappears.
Depletes.
Yeah. Yeah. So they can like give you a gold coin and they have infinite gold coins. Yeah.
Huh. I also read that apparently they hoarded wealth that they stole, apparently like during wartime in Ireland. A lot of wealth was buried underground, and I came across one reason for them being, you know, associated with pots of gold and everything is they kind of just unburied it, and they're like, yeah, we're going to take this.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. It's like
the mystery
two guys
part.
Were like, we're not going to tell anyone what we're burying the treasure, right? And they're like, oh, yeah, sure. And then they come back, like, under cover of night, and they steal it. And they're like, I don't know what happened to the gold. Like, must have been a leprechaun, eh? Like,
yeah.
They just, like, tricked the other guy.
Like, oh, those damn leprechauns.
Darn.
Yeah. So, yeah. But, I mean, who knows?
I don't know. And they're also stereotyped as having been, like, shoemakers.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting.
That is interesting, yeah.
And a lot of the times in...
They make
like,
shoes and they hide gold.
In older, not so much the modern artist depictions, but older depictions of leprechauns, they're usually seen working on one shoe.
Just one shoe.
Yeah, just one. And I got the impression, at first I thought it might have been like they were kind of stereotyped as lazy. But I don't know.
I would be if really I could just the pull gold out of my ass whenever I wanted it. Like, I would be lazy too.
Yeah, I guess so. But yeah, and they're usually solitary kind of creatures.
Yeah, they're lone wolves. They don't run.
Yeah, they
in
don't
packs.
Like live in a tree with like their 40 cousins or anything. Like,
you yeah, they're think. Not the Keebler elves. Mm-mm. Guys.
No, so yeah, they're just general tricksters. You know. Playing goofs yeah. on people. And
well, and they like to like make bargains and kind of like, you know, trick people. I read about there's a particular type of leprechaun that it's sort of like within the family tree.
Yeah.
So it's called a cluricon. Ooh. And to be fair, leprechauns they're all kind of classified by some under the fairy folk. So you can have different kinds, like trolls could also be under that. But at the same time, that's not necessarily the same thing as a fairy. Like, the fairy folk can be any magical whatever, not yeah. necessarily the same. But sometimes leprechauns are considered to be, like, a type of mischievous fairy. But mm-hmm. Cluricon specifically, they basically haunt wine cellars, and they drink all the time. So it's like a drunk leprechaun. Some believe that he was that a cluricon might just be a leprechaun on a drinking spree. Also lone wolves and treasure guardians. There's one tale where a traveler is cold and he's just walking down the street, I guess, and
yeah.
a cluricon appears and offers him whiskey to warm him up. And so he drinks cool. the whiskey, and then he says, "Well, now you owe me for the whiskey." And he says, "I don't have any money." And so he basically the cluricon uses magic to compel the traveler to serve him for 7 years and a day.
Ooh.
But the traveler invokes the power of God to escape from...
The power of Christ compels you.
The power of Christ compels you. To escape from from bondage. The clutches. Extreme bondage.
Yeah.
Yeah, to escape. and that just kind of goes with like the same... it's kind of... That was a common theme is like... That the Christians would kind of spin as like, we can protect you from... supernatural, mm-hmm. like, you know, you just need God. And in that particular tale, apparently the cluricon can also shrink itself to fit through keyholes, and it can turn rushes, like little like reeds, like,
yeah,
into horses to ride away, and can also fly on brooms like a witch.
Doesn't that happen in The Luck of the Irish? Doesn't Timothy O'Munson's character, doesn't he shrink down to fit through a keyhole?
I think so.
Yeah,
it's been a long time since I've seen that movie.
It's been at least 10 years, but I don't know. I vaguely remember that happening.
Well, don't get me wrong, because cluricons, even though they are cluricons and leprechauns in general, they tend to kind of associate with one family because they haunt that family's like wine cellar and, you know, try to get
haunt
alcohol.
In quotation marks.
They yeah, just like yeah, yeah. They just get wasted get basically. But they actually will. In legend, they will go out of their way to protect the family.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like it's kind of like the pet you never wanted.
Yeah, it drinks all
has
your wine.
Has magical powers, drinks all your wine.
But
apparently, they also smoke pipes.
Nice.
It's a common thing to smoke a pipe if you're a leprechaun or a cluricon.
What's in that pipe?
But there is actually a sort of similar, not exactly. There's basically, you mentioned that the Awatach was kind of like an evil version of a leprechaun in a way, in terms of what it, you know, what its animus was, what it wanted to do.
Yeah.
There's actually another creature called a Fardarig, which is also kind of in the cluricon leprechaun family, but it was connected to nightmares a lot. So if you'd have a nightmare of a Fardarig, something bad might be coming.
Yeah.
Just an basically an evil looking. Sometimes they would have rat-like features or even a rat's tail.
Hmm.
But they're most commonly associated with the myth of changelings.
Oh, yeah.
Which is where supposedly one of the, like a fairy or one of the fairy folk, like a troll or a leprechaun or an actual fairy, would replace a human baby with one of their own babies that looked like the baby they stole. There are all kinds of theories about why they would want to do this. Some are like, you know, there was one that was like only... human milk can nourish a fairy baby, so they wouldn't like swap it out. So it could. There were some that was like, it said like they owed a tithe, which is like a tax, to hell.
Yeah.
So basically, they had to offer up sacrifices, so they would like give the human baby, and Yeah, it's bad news. If you have dreams about a creepy little dude who's spinning spells and stealing your babies, you're in trouble.
I read that people used changelings kind of to explain away babies born that, you know, they might have something wrong. Like if it was born with an illness
or a disease or
something like that, they would be like, oh man, the changelings got me.
Yeah.
They're like, faulty. No way my baby could be like that. So
yeah. Hmm. Yeah. A lot. Yeah. I mean, it was a dark time, you might say.
Yeah.
You got to wonder how common that became throughout. Yeah. 'Cause even if your baby just got sick, then you might think, well, my baby wasn't sick before.
Yeah, so it must have got swapped out.
Yeah. I'm going to take it back to the store and get a new one.
You mark your baby with a crayon in only a way that you would know. No baby snatcher could possibly replicate
Could ever copy. Yeah.
Yeah, and there you go. That's how you keep track of your baby.
Just give your baby a tattoo.
That's a good idea, too. A face tattoo. Because then if someone was like, I might want to steal that treatment. Baby, they see the face tattoo and they're like, oh, no, never mind.
Yeah.
You can keep it.
That's one solution.
Yeah, that's one solution. Parenting tips here on Men Biting Dogs podcast.
So just watch out. Okay? There are different kinds. Just because you see a leprechaun does not mean that he's going to give you his pot of gold.
No.
He could.
He could.
He's a nice guy.
Probably not, though.
Do you know of any other kinds?
Of leprechauns?
Yeah.
Not of leprechauns.
It's pretty nebulous, the whole thing. It's like, it could be, like, maybe a cluricon is a different kind. Maybe it's not. Maybe a fardarg is just a leprechaun that had a bad day. Maybe it's something else. It's all kind of in the same realm, but there's not exactly, a detailed bestiary.
Right. Yeah, now that's all I got on leprechauns, but I do have something called a Selkie. Have you heard of that?
Is that like a water creature?
Yeah, it's kind of like a mermaid, but kind of not. They are creatures.
Just good or evil?
Well, actually,
or a mixture of either one.
It's up in the air. I wouldn't say they're evil, but I wouldn't say they're really all that good either. They're capable of shape-shifting.
Ooh,
fancy. And there can be male and female Selkies. They spend their life in the sea, and they wear seal skin, so they appear to be a seal. The female Selkies are often in legends coerced into a relationship with a human. So whether it be like they're caught by a fisherman or what have you, they are they're coerced into coming on shore, and they shed their seal skin, and a Selkie can return to the sea at any time as long as they have their seal skin. So what men do is they grab them a pretty little Selkie, and they steal and hide their seal skin so they cannot return to the sea.
So it's like, they're wearing the skin of a seal, but they're also taking the shape of the seal by using the skin.
Yeah.
Kind of like Otter in the Volsung saga.
Mm-hmm. It's like by...
So it's not like they're just a person wearing a seal skin. It's like wear it, they actually take the form.
Yeah. Okay. And then they can remove the skin as well to become human.
Interesting.
So yeah, they get their skin stolen and hidden, and they lose their powers. Which they don't really have like powers, but it's kind of vague. But it says they lose their powers and they submit to their husbands once their skin has been stolen. And oftentimes,
what's the motivation to steal the skin?
They're very beautiful, apparently.
Okay.
And they're loyal because, I mean, well, not so much loyal. They're loyal in the sense that they have no other option, so they don't have anywhere else to go.
That's
but they marry these men. They often have lots of children, and there's in a lot of stories the kids come across like the seal skin hidden away, and one I think a man hid it in a trunk and locked it, and he kept the key with him every single day. And one day he went out fishing and left his key, and one of his children found it and opened the chest. The mother found her seal skin and returned to the ocean.
Sounds kind of like it could be a solid excuse if your the wife. Mom doesn't like her own family and she's like,
yeah.
I'm going to go free bird for a while. And yeah. then they run away. And so then people are like, oh, she must have been a Selkie. Yeah. She jumped back into the ocean.
Mm-hmm. And there are male versions of Selkies, as I said, and they are apparently, they're supposedly very attractive when they're in their human form.
So they can do the same thing, basically.
Mm-hmm.
My husband ran away. Oh, he must have been a Selkie.
Well, there's it's a little bit different with the Selkies, the male ones. They, instead, because the females don't really like go looking for a male. They kind of get coerced into it, which kind of speaks to the sexism of the times, I think.
Yeah, marriage was not.
The males look out for women who are dissatisfied with their lives, married or not. And then, like, a lot of times, like, they are women whose husbands are, you know, out at sea for long periods of time. So they come and they, you know, they hit on these women.
So it's like they're like a temptation thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they come and then they coerce the women into being in a relationship with them, and so they, you know, transform into human, and they come on and they live their lives with this woman.
So you think it might have been used of like, while your husband's out at sea, like, be wary of other men. They could be Selkies trying to trick you.
Yeah, they could
be. So it seems like in both cases these were almost like social control myths.
Yeah, almost. You know, it's definitely weird because
it was like ways for some people to save face if their spouse left,
mm-hmm.
and it was a way of like trying to discourage infidelity in the marriage.
Yeah. Interesting. Oh, it's just a Selkie. Don't trust those bastards.
Yeah.
Interesting. But a woman can actually summon a Selkie. To do this,
tell them
you must cry. You must shed 7 tears into the sea, and a male Selkie will come to you.
If you're Meryl Streep, that's no problem.
Yeah, it's no problem at all. There's actually a funny story too. There's a clan of Scottish people called the McCordrums McCordrums.
McCordrums. Is that like the last name, or is that like a name of a
I think that's just clan. Like the family last name.
Oh.
But they became known as the McCordrums of the Seals because they claim to be the descendants of a fisherman and a Selkie. Mm-hmm. And they explained it this way because the family had a hereditary mutation known as syndactyly, I believe is how you say that. And it's a growth of skin
or feet or something,
between your fingers and toes.
So they webbed.
Yeah, so they were like, oh, that's because our great-great-grandpappy married a Selkie.
That's like if somebody made fun of me for having red in my beard, and I was like, well, my great-great-grandpa was a leprechaun, you jerk.
Yeah. Like, yeah, so unfortunately...
So is it, like, functional? Can they still use their hands regularly, but they have webs so they could swim faster?
Yeah, they can. They function just fine, I'm pretty sure. But, yeah, I guess it could help out in the water.
I'd become an Olympic swimmer.
Yeah. I mean, maybe Michael Phelps can trace his lineage back. I don't know. We'll see.
To an alien.
Yeah. Now, he's just, like, a freak. But... Yeah, I thought that was funny. They had this... I assume that hereditary mutation is a result of inbreeding. I don't... You know, you usually hear, like, the webbed fingers and toes. Like, if your parents, you know, were cousins, like... So, that's where I assume that came from. But they were trying to, like no, it's
cool. So, you might say that Alabama is the land of the Selkie.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, I don't know. So, thought that was pretty funny.
But, that is funny.
And the Selkie is also part of the Aes Side race.
Well, so it's not like they're going to like drag you down to the depths of the ocean and kill you. It's just
a siren or a mermaid.
Something to look out for.
Yeah, they're not necessarily dangerous. You know, at least I didn't come across anything.
So what were their powers supposed to be while they're in Selkie form? Can they do anything big or just...
Did some research on that, and I couldn't find. Like, I was like, "What?"
So
is
it was
the
just like we don't know what they can do, but they're like, just
oh,
magical.
They're just out there. Yeah,
yeah. Well, you said they could shapeshift, which is
they can shapeshift, but
it's just into the form of a.
Yeah, I read that. It said they shapeshift, and then it only ever mentioned them being seals or humans. So it sounds like they got the short end of the shape-shifting stick,
if you will. A were seal, if you will.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
interesting.
That's the Selkie.
Interesting. Yeah. Quirky.
Very quirky indeed. Creatures.
One that, well, I got, it's called a, when I read this first, I thought it was Fear Gorta, but in an attempt to prepare for this event, I thought, I'm going to take a look at the, I go on Duolingo, and I'm going to take a look at the Irish stuff and see if I can pick anything up.
Mm.
That didn't pan out, but I do know that it's not fear, it's pronounced fire.
Fire?
And fire is man.
Oh, okay.
So it's, I believe it's Fire Gorta.
So man Gorta.
Yes. So Gorta, something man. Probably like hungry man, like hungry man.
Oh, dinner. Yeah. I think I can't.
Or emaciated man.
Yeah.
It was a phantom of starvation. It takes the form of an emaciated man and would wander the countryside asking for donations from generous passersby. And the legend goes that if you were generous and you gave to the Fire Gorta, you'd get good luck. And it became connected. Some believe that it kind of arose from the Great Famine of the 1840s, that it was like you have all these people just roaming the countryside with no food.
Yeah,
that maybe it was connected. Some believe that since it's technically like a ghost, it's like a phantom. It's not technically like a person. They were thought to rise from a patch of what is known as hungry grass. And hungry grass was supposed to be like a cursed patch of grass that if you walked over it, you're cursed with an insatiable hunger that you cannot fulfill, which sounded a lot to me like the Wendigo.
Yeah.
I thought that was cool.
Yeah, that's true.
And there are some who also believe that hungry grass could be planted by fairies or that it would start growing near an unshriven corpse, which is a corpse that did not... get last rites, that did not or do like confession, an unsaved basically. And there are different ways that it's said that you can fight hungry grass. Some are just like you just have to eat food and drink beer while you're walking across the grass. I mean, it's not so that's more like, you know, I didn't find anything that was like the Fire Gorta is gonna murder you if you don't give them food.
Yeah.
Just more of like they're out there working their magic, working their mischief.
Yeah.
You know, because if you have the countryside, you have hungry people walking all over the countryside, and then somebody's going to eventually give a little bit of money to someone, and then eventually something good's going to happen to them. They'll be like, oh, that must have been a Fire Gorta.
Yeah.
Like, that's why I got lucky. You know, like, I don't know. It's good to give anyways.
Yeah. If you see someone... hungry, especially if they're like ribs are showing like that hungry,
yeah,
feed them. Yeah. come on
taking them to Mickey D's.
No,
or be a good person and get them like some vegetables.
Yeah, get them something that's good for them.
Healthy, yeah.
Don't be like, oh, you're starving and poor. Yeah. And everything,
give to your
like,
local food banks and food.
Just be a good person.
Charities, just be a good person. Good luck will. And I think that maybe that was also kind of, it arose around the time of the famine to encourage people to give in their community to people who were...
to make sure no one's starving.
Struggling, yeah. Starving.
Starving.
The way you said that was kind of...
yeah.
Starving.
Starving. Give them a shamrock shake.
Don't give them a shamrock shake. You didn't even know what's in that stuff.
So...
yeah, so a phant is more just, you know, not necessarily malicious, because not all of the fairy folk, as it were, are evil. There is another type of sort of a phantom or a spirit, more specifically, a whole pack of them. It's called a Sluah.
Sluah.
And that's, the Sluah is the name of both an individual spirit, a restless spirit, or a pack of them, because they usually... moving packs, but basically they are spirits that were rejected by both heaven and hell and also by the Celtic deities, which is interesting to me because it was like it could be either one, which implies that there are some people who believe that either one could grant you an afterlife, but it's like no one. So maybe if like you didn't pick a side, like you didn't worship Celtic deities and you weren't Christian, then the myth was like, your soul, if it doesn't go anywhere and it doesn't properly cross to the other side, you're basically stuck.
Yeah, it's like a purgatory.
Yeah, and so the myth was that these spirits would fly in these like packs, and that they would try to carry away the souls of the newly dead, and that part of the way to prevent that was to, you know, to give someone like a proper like last rites or burial or whatever, mm-hmm. you know, to make sure they had a good relationship with their
very important
particular religion. So and there's also a superstition, or rather a practice, that a good way to try to keep them out is that apparently they always fly in from the west.
Mm.
So if you close all of the west-facing windows in your home, the slua won't be able to get in and curse you or steal your soul. Or
is there any practicality to that? Like practical reason? For closing?
I think just like I think it was just a way of possibly just encouraging religion of some kind. There were probably people use it for either one. They might say, read your Bible. You don't want the slua to come for you. And some who would say, read your
Celtic
Druidic
deity
scrolls. Bible. You don't want the slua to come get you. It's more just like encouraging. And if anything, it might just be encouraging a not like non-atheism, possibly.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just like get your
just
stuff.
Just believe in something.
Yeah. Don't shit the bed. Get your stuff in order with the afterlife.
Exactly.
You need to believe in something. That could be part of it. I could also see it having been used as like, you don't want to be a pagan because there is no afterlife for you and the slua will get you. Like, or vice versa. Like maybe the pagans will say, you don't want to convert because it's all lies. There's no afterlife for that. And the slua will get you. So I could see it as being a pretty versatile tool if you're trying to get someone to join a particular group. And that's all speculation, by the way. I don't know if...
Yeah.
I mean, I have no way of knowing where it came from.
It's a good analysis, though. That's good.
Yeah, I think that's one of the possibilities.
I like that.
Yeah.
A tip of the cap to you, sir, on that.
And the top of the morning to you.
And a top of the morning. Well, cool.
But yeah, you got to watch out for those, for those spirits, for sure.
Well, my favorite of this list, and something that you're definitely going to want to watch out for. You do not want to see this bad boy or girl, because there are female versions of them, riding your way on a dark, stormy, lonely night.
Do they only come on dark and stormy and lonely nights?
No, they don't.
But you specifically,
but if it was that kind of night, you would especially want it, because it would be even worse.
Yeah, okay.
And I am talking about, of course, the Dullahan.
The
Dullahan. The inspiration for the Headless Horseman.
Is it like confirmed that it was, or do you think it probably just was?
I mean, I'm just going to assume that
pretty,
it was.
Pretty certain.
Because what the Headless Horseman, like the Sleepy Hollow story, takes place in New York. I think probably around a time when there were a lot of immigrants coming in.
Oh.
So possibly that the story kind of came over. Yeah, it was brought over.
So that's the Dullahan is like a headless horseman.
That's my theory. Yeah, but the Dullahan is a headless horseman or horsewoman. It's more common for it to be male, but there are female versions.
Is the horse headless too?
It is not, actually. Good. I thought that would be interesting, but it's not.
That's too much.
Yeah, they ride in on a black horse, and they're, of course, are not only are they headless, but they are carrying their own head in their arm.
Mm.
And the head is always said to have a horrifyingly wide grin on it, and its eyes darting back and forth. Like, it's still watching you. Like, it's headless, but its head
is
still doing the seeing. So the eyes dart back and forth, and they can apparently see for miles, even on the darkest night.
Wow.
So, I mean, really nowhere to hide from these bad boys.
Yeah.
I thought this was funny, too, that they... is this article I was reading, and it said that the texture and color of the head that they carry often resembles a moldy cheese. I mean, I kind of assumed in my head that it was like their head was just normal, but it just happened to not be on attached.
So the head is like
decaying. But it's like decaying and decomposed, and it looks and probably smells a little bit like
some
moldy
cheese
too.
Well, isn't that how in like the Sleepy Hollow legend, like the headless horseman throws its own pumpkin head and kills people with it or something?
I'm not sure. I don't.
Maybe that's the children's book.
Maybe, yeah, that's probably like the kid version.
It's cool.
Yeah,
so
but
what would cause them to show up?
Like, well, they are harbingers of death. It's very much like a Grim Reaper. They don't like go around just like killing people for fun.
Oh, so they're like predictors.
Yeah. It says that they ride constantly through the night, but when they stop, that is where someone, like, they if they stop, you're going to die.
So if you see it on a dark and stormy night, it's fine as long as it keeps riding past
you. Yeah, you don't want it to stop next to you.
Yeah.
So, because then you're dead. But yeah. They thought this was interesting. They have the most badass weapon.
What is it?
They use a whip. But the whip is made from human spines. That's so, like, that's so badass, I think.
Clack, don't come back.
Yeah. And apparently they have wagons attached to their horses, which I guess is kind of like the hearse. But they're kind of like a lot of gothic imagery with the wagons. Apparently they have candles placed in skulls to light the way. The wheel spokes are made from femur bones. Whoa. And the wagon is usually covered with human skin.
Oh.
So it's pretty gross.
Is it like bloody human skin or just
no, it's like dried
tanned and leather.
Yeah, it's like it's been it's been prepared.
Okay.
It's some
still disgusting.
What's his name? Bill from Silence of the Lambs.
Buffalo Bill,
yeah.
It's like fucking the basket.
Yeah. You haven't thought about the smell, you bitch. The skin. Yeah. Wow,
that's gnarly.
Yeah, and apparently actually, you know what? I take back what you said about taking back what I said at the beginning. You don't want to see them because it says anyone who watches the riders, like, you know, gazes on them as they ride by, will have blood thrown at them. Like a basin of blood will just be thrown in your face.
What if that's all you've ever wanted?
But it also says that if the Dullahan has time after throwing the blood, he might just come and kill you too. So you want to avoid them at all costs.
Interesting.
So unless you have a little bit of gold on you.
A bit of gold.
That's the thing that can drive away a Dullahan is gold. I don't understand why it didn't. I got no reasons why, but it says that...
Hey, Dullahan's got to pay his bills too, you know?
That's true.
Reaping ain't, it's not free.
But it says if you even have a pin of gold on you as enough to drive away a Dullahan, they'll get out of there real quick.
So theoretically, a Dullahan would never come after a leprechaun or kill a leprechaun.
I guess not.
Infinite gold.
Yeah, I guess not. So
interesting.
Always carry a little bit of gold on you.
You think maybe that was used as a way of like, if a poor person died from like starvation, they could be like, well, they didn't have any gold on them, must have been the Dullahan.
Yeah, that's what you get for being poor.
That sounds like a legend that clearly favors the rich.
Yeah, it does,
you know.
So
I mean, who had gold
just like then? On them?
Yeah,
yeah. Even like, if you did have gold, it's like, oh, I've got my trusty gold nugget in my pocket.
So the Dullahan is mostly a symbol, but it could also carry out the killing.
Yeah.
There is another symbol of death that's pretty popular, the banshee.
Ooh.
Which cannot be male or female. It's always female.
Yeah.
It's a female spirit. It's basically a death omen, like the Dullahan. It warns of the death, usually of a family member. Like if it appears to you, then, but it could also be for you. Someone, you or someone close to you is going to die.
Yeah.
But basically, there's not really a set way that it appears. Sometimes it's like, you know, it's got a ghastly face and expression, and it's wearing all white. Sometimes
wearing
some
all
people
black.
Believe that. Well, some people believe that. Some believe that banshees can only have red hair, which is unfortunate if you had red hair.
Yeah,
and you're a woman, because then you might have people saying it's a banshee.
It's a banshee.
There are also theories that the way the myth or the legend sort of arose is that it was traditional as a part of mourning death in Ireland and some parts of Scotland to have a professional wailing woman. They would call it a keening woman, who would wail like a lament sort of song. So it might have just been that became associated with death was a wailing woman.
That's funny, though, that they like, they would hire people like, all right.
Yeah, you can make a living if you were the best whaler.
Yeah, it said they're in high demand.
Yeah, they were. Like, it was a big part. It was It was the big thing.
Did you book the Whaler yet, honey?
Yeah.
No.
The Whaler. Yeah. So, but you, it could also actually, not just to signal the death of someone close to you, it was apparently, if you were about to enter into a dangerous situation that could kill you, you would hear the shriek of the banshee. You know, if you have like a hold my beer type situation, you're about to do something stupid.
Yeah.
And you just hear a woman shrieking. Yeah.
Something like that. Probably a lot.
I think it scarier. Sounds more human than pterodactyl.
Yeah.
But if you hear a scream, you're going to be careful. And there are some who claim that banshees would only serve particular families. They were considered to be of some kind of pure lineage.
Yeah, the Milesian stock of Ireland.
Yeah, Milesian. And that's generally considered to be families with with the O, like O'Shaughnessy or O'Malley, or Mac at the front of your last name.
Yeah, a surname prefix.
Yeah,
of those.
And that would mean that you might have like a family banshee. And supposedly, if you have several banshees appearing at once, it signifies the death of a great or holy person.
Yeah.
So there are more legends banshees of like a saint dying, and then they'd have like 20 banshees show up, and it's a way of just like, yeah, 20 banshees. Wow, you must have been great.
Yeah. It was so just a way. The of more like, banshees, the more respect bestowed upon the deceased.
Yeah. It was like this person was legit.
They were big time.
Yeah. So. Those are some of the big ones. Do you have any other cool creatures?
Those are it for me. Those are all I've got. But
well, I looked into some of just the general superstitions.
Yeah. What you got?
For instance, trees that they were known as fairy trees. It would be like described as like a like if you went to like a field. Mm-hmm. Where they had supposedly chopped down all the trees and there was like a lone tree in the middle of a field where there shouldn't be one, then it was really bad luck to cut it down because it meant that it was like a fairy tree. Like the fairies had some kind of interest in the tree or especially hawthorn trees. So you don't want to bring a branch of a hawthorn blossom into your home because that means you cut down the hawthorn and that was really bad luck.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like you look out, and you know, there are the general bad luck omens that some of them go back to this region, some go back even further. You know, there's the black cat crossing your path. Something about what's the one about the ladders? Like, don't walk under a ladder. That's like,
yeah, like open. A ladder. You don't walk in between, or yeah, underneath.
It's, don't break mirrors. Luck.
Throw a pinch of salt
and there's actually
over your shoulder.
Yeah, if you spill,
salt, throw a pinch over your shoulder.
There was also you had talked about the Selkies, which were like a water, like an ocean. There were a lot of superstitions surrounding the sea.
Surrounded by it, so.
Some considered it bad luck to have a red-headed woman on the ship, which is.
Further proof that gingers are are evil.
I don't know if there was a particular reason for that one. There was another that you didn't want to, if you were near the coast, you didn't want to blow out a candle at night because it meant that a sailor would die. So let the candle burn down instead of blowing it out. Maybe it's like blowing
waste
out
a whole candle?
A life, I guess so, or just use smaller candles.
Hmm.
There are a few bad omens. If you see a single magpie as opposed to a whole flock, that was bad.
And a magpie is a bird?
Yes. Or if a bird actually flies into your house, it could mean someone who lives in the house is going to die. If a chair falls over when you stand up like to get out of it, that was bad. And also, the thing I mentioned earlier, any redheaded person wearing a red coat was bad luck.
Bad luck.
I don't know if it wasn't clear, but it was for the redhead or for you. Maybe it's like if you see a redhead person in a red garb.
Get out of there.
Get out of there. Obviously, we have, in terms of, we're talking about luck and omens, the four-leaf clover is like the ultimate sign of luck.
Yeah.
Possibly because some druids may have used them. They performed healing rituals where they might find a four-leaf clover. Like if they would find a four-leaf clover, then they would be like, this is a lucky and special place. We're going to do a healing ritual here.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I always wondered where that one came from.
Well, that's a possible connection. It's hard to verify any of this. I do have, I would not call it at all a challenge to the public, but supposedly, and this is something weird I came across, in Dublin, I believe it's in Dublin, St. Mary's Chapel of Ease, apparently there's a legend that if you run counterclockwise, some versions say 3 times, some say 12, run counterclockwise around it at midnight, it summons the devil.
Oh, wow.
Some versions say that if you have a witness there, the devil will grant your wish and take the soul of the witness as payment. So, you know, maybe your in-laws are in town and you want to get that new car. Just...
Do you want to go
I'm not advocating anything.
Do you want to go on a trip with me?
Do you want to go on a trip, buddy?
Yeah.
So, buddy? If you... Like I said, I'm not encouraging anyone to do anything, but if you happen to, take a GoPro, you know, periscope that shit.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be interested. And if you really want to fuck yourself over while you're running around, read Tamino's Hell out loud. Tamino's Hell is a famous Japanese poem that you're never supposed to read out loud because it will curse you.
I'm going to read it possibly as soon as we're done.
To death. I don't know if you have to read it in the original Japanese.
Probably.
Either way, if you're just looking to, you know, sort of throw your soul
ruin your
to
life.
The wind and see what happens, yeah, run around.
Do those things.
And I'm not advising anyone to do this. But if you do, keep
let
a record. Yeah, let us know. Send us a shout out.
Tell us how it worked out for you.
We're also interested if you know of, you know, if we got something wrong or if there's anything passed down through your family referring to one of these creatures or a creature like them, this is by no means a comprehensive list.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are always more.
Or if we got something so right that you just want to scream it from the mountaintops and let us know, then let us know that as well.
If you enjoyed it.
Also.
The folks
have a quick something I want to say here, actually. I completely forgot about this.
What's up?
Debating whether I should add this in or not.
Is it shit the bed?
A little bit of a ghost story for me. I almost shit the bed after this happened.
Interesting.
So my grandfather passed away about 5 or 6 years ago.
Mm.
And I didn't know what a banshee was. But after doing my research for this episode, I think I may have seen a banshee.
Really?
Yeah.
Like before your grandfather's death?
No. That was another thing is they can also appear after a death just to wail. They don't necessarily always pop up right before.
Mm.
But yeah, so after he passed away, it's probably 3 weeks afterwards. I was laying in my bed at night and my bedroom where I used to live in my parents' house was on the second floor. And I couldn't sleep at all. And so I went out, I got out of bed and I went and looked out the window and I saw in my backyard, like as clear as I am seeing you right now in front of me, there is a woman standing, probably 50 feet out, sorry, 50 yards out. And she was wearing all white and had red hair. All white dress, and she was just standing, looking right at me.
Was she prettier than me? You better say no.
Nah, right now. Nah. She was a dog. But yeah, she was standing, looking right at me. I never heard any wailing or keening or anything like that. But it really freaked me out. It messed up my sleep schedule for the next few days.
I mean,
but
were you? I mean, what did you do in the moment?
I stood there, stared for probably 10 seconds because I was just frozen, and then I immediately pulled my blinds closed. And then I got back into bed, and then about 30 minutes later, I went out and just peeked through the blinds. Nothing there.
Yeah.
I slept with the covers very much over my head that night.
That's interesting. You may have seen a banshee.
I don't know. I just put that together the other day.
Me personally, I do... I have the hallucinations like when you're really tired and you wake up when you're asleep. And for the first, like, the longest it was for me was for like 30 seconds. But when you've woken up, you like hallucinate something that's not there.
Like a sleep paralysis type thing?
Well, no, I can move, but it's what I'm seeing.
Okay.
So for me, usually it's bugs, because I was really, I had bad arachnophobia when I was a kid. Mm. And so I would like wake up and turn on the light in my room, and then there would be like a human-sized tarantula crawling towards me or crawling up the wall. Wow. You know, a common one is when I wake up in my... if my belt is on the floor, it like turns into a snake
and starts
slithering towards me. I can move, I just don't realize. And I think part of it is like your brain is still trying to generate like imagery, like it would for a dream.
Yeah.
But maybe it hasn't really snapped out of like, no, you are awake. And sometimes I'll think that like I'll wake up and I'll think that like there's somebody in my room or there's someone talking to me. But eventually I snap out of it.
Yeah.
So that's one possible explanation. Or, you saw what you saw.
Yeah.
Well, whether it came from your brain or from the nether void, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't asleep beforehand.
Like, oh, you weren't even
asleep.
I hadn't
woken up. I was in bed and I could not sleep. And then so I got up and I looked out the window and saw it. So I hadn't been asleep at all.
Yeah,
so
that's freaky.
That's specifically what freaked me out.
Yeah. For me, it's always when I'm like, I've been asleep and I'm still kind of like super half asleep.
Yeah.
But I wake up suddenly and I've seen some weird shit. Mm. But I've never had a problem with the paralysis because, if anything, I'm the opposite. I'm a really overactive sleeper. When I was in high school.
Huh? Like you move a lot in bed?
Yeah. When I was in high school, my room had like a sloping ceiling and my bed was probably too close to one of the slopes. So if I would lash out in my dream, I would lash out in real life and I like... I'm pretty sure like I like almost broke a toe cause I kicked the wall cause I was kicking in my dream, like things like that. Wow. So, yeah, I move a lot. So that's never been an issue for me. The paralysis part of it, seeing things definitely does. And I also, the thing where like, you hear someone call your name when you're like, falling asleep.
I've had that happen.
Happens to me so often.
I've had that happen. It's, that's pretty creepy.
That happens to me like, probably about 3 times a week.
I'm sorry. Wow.
The brain is an intricate
little
machine.
Yeah.
Anyhow.
I don't know what caused mine. I mean, I've never seen
anything like it. I hope something caused it for your sake.
Never seen anything like it before or since. Yeah, it's
interesting.
It's weird, but I just put that together the other day because I've always, like, I still think about that all the time. Like,
when did it happen in relation to your grandfather's death? When did it happen in relation to your grandfather's death?
About three and a half weeks later.
Wow.
So, not suggesting.
Did you ask your parents if you had any ancestors who were redhead women?
No, I haven't.
Well, because my cousin, when she was a kid, she had, it was like she was a kid and she was flipping through a photo album with my aunt and uncle. And she was like, and they flipped through and it was like a picture of like her great grandma or something. And she was like, I saw her yesterday. She was sitting on the stairs in the hallway, you know, stuff like that. So
nope.
It wouldn't be that crazy to me if we had like a connection to the people who came before us in some way. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyhow, if you had a favorite of these beasties, if we missed something, if you just want to talk
shop.
Lore, yeah, talk shop, talk lore. Shoot us an email, thefolks@menbodyanddogspodcast.com. Drop by the website. Follow on Twitter. Follow on Facebook. Follow on Instagram. Just follow.
Subscribe. iTunes and Google Play.
For sure. Subscribe and be sure to drop us a rating. And that helps us to kind of get out there a little more. Tell your friends. And we hope you have a great...
Yeah, St. have a great St. Patty's Day, and hey, we'll
go
be seeing
hard,
you guys
but,
tomorrow.
Go hard, but don't hesitate to call a cab, or don't make one of your friends be the designated driver. So just call
yeah,
an
and don't
Uber,
drive. Be responsible.
Call an Uber or Lyft or whatever. Get a taxi. Yeah, please be responsible. The Saints are all dead. They don't really have any interest in you joining them. just to celebrate their lives. So we hope you enjoyed this podcast, and we will be back tomorrow.
Bye.